In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship on this, the Tuesday of Holy Week. It's good to have you with us. You'll have noticed if you were here last night that we had a hymn during the preparation of the table, which was one that goes back quite a long way, which our director of music recommended. There's a refrain that runs through that, and our hope is that by the time we get to Wednesday, we'll at least be able to sing that. It's quite a memorable repeat that runs through. If you're very confident and know the music to the verse, sing away. But perhaps it'd be lovely to join our soloist in singing the refrain when we come to that a bit later on. Christ himself carried up our sins in his body to the tree, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Let us confess our sins. Most merciful God, we confess to you, before the whole company of heaven and one another, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. Forgive us our sins, heal us by your Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you make a gift of death to bring us to new life. Free us from our need to fix and own your name, so we may look for the day when you are lifted high and all are drawn into the arms of love through Jesus Christ, the Passion of God. Amen.
Listen to me, dear persons. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He laid my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished pattern. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Though I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too wonderful that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, called by the nations, a slave of the rulers. Kings shall see and stand up. Princes, and they should prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Sanctify us in the truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. So yesterday we had the 12th chapter, another part of the 12th chapter of St. John's Gospel, where Jesus had a meal with his friends. Martha anointed his feet, you remember, and left us pondering that we always have the poor with us and yet do not always have him. The chapter then continues as he makes his way to Jerusalem, where palm branches were removed from trees and cries of Hosanna were heard, something we of course recalled on Sunday. And then in the last part of this chapter come the words we've heard this evening. Some Greeks say to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And amidst his response, in verse 25, are the words I wanted to ponder this evening as we take Jesus at his word. Jesus said, "Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Well, I guess just like last night, the words seem strange to us. That's probably why I hone in on them. I always get drawn to those things that I want to try and answer the questions to in these sorts of passages. And they're especially strange when we think, of course, elsewhere, when Jesus talks of loving your neighbour as yourself, that fundamental command that in a way defines the gospel. And the implication there, of course, is that unless we can love ourselves, we cannot really love our neighbours, and it makes sense to us. Of course, we only really understand what love might look like and how it can transform lives because we've experienced it for ourselves. And what a precious gift it is to know that we are loved, and what a tragedy it is for those who've never felt loved or for all sorts of reasons have a distorted understanding of love, through abuse, manipulation, and so on. So what then of these strange words which we are pondering from Jesus' voice this evening? How are we to hear them? Well, I suppose the first thing we must do is not try and explain them away or to skip over them, but simply to live with them. They are there, to sit quietly with them and let them speak to us. And from that place of reflection, I want to offer some thoughts about them. For it seems to me to help us understand these words, we need to take in the wider context of that memorable passage before us. Prior to this verse, of course, we've heard Jesus say, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. And these words, together with those around verse 32, in which Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the cross, will draw all people, sorry, from the earth, will draw all people to myself. These give us a strong sense of where his life is leading and of the universal and cosmic significance of what is to come. Of course, before us, at the end of the week, comes abandonment, trial, cruelty, crucifixion, and death. So there's something here about Jesus anticipating what is to come. And as a consequence, he dispenses with triviality. We likely know something about this for ourselves, for I expect we all know if we've lived through times, for example, when we've had to confront our mortality, when all the nonsense of life falls away. We don't really care that much about potholes or petrol prices when someone we love is dying, or we ourselves are going through something challenging, an operation or a treatment, for example. And so we can sense that perhaps that is why there is such urgency in Jesus' words to us tonight, words that are preparing the ground then and now, through which Jesus is making clear that to follow him demands nothing else, nothing less than all our life. It's as if he has no time for argument and explanation. Why waste eloquent words when directness is all that's needed? But still the words are so strong. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life, love and hate. Yet there's more here, for it's worth dwelling on the final two words in that sentence. Because taken as a whole, Jesus in John's Gospel calls those who hear him to eternal life. A life which, as well as inviting us to contemplate the life to come, is about how we live now, growing daily into the love revealed in Jesus Christ, and of how God sent his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal or abundance or fullness of life. Abundance and fullness are very John words. So I think these words which jar need to be heard alongside others. They need to be understood as part of a bigger picture. But that still doesn't mean we dismiss them. We, as I said, sit with them and let them speak. For to return to that question of what sort of life is Jesus calling us to, they invite us to ponder that sense of sometimes things are as simple as Jesus says. Even in our day-to-day lives, there are choices of life over death, of good over evil. And sometimes we can and do invest our lives in the wrong things, spend our time and money and our effort on that which leads us away from God, who is the source of abundant life and love. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's just take a few moments to ponder those words as we take Jesus at his word and pray that he might speak into our lives tonight for our time of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God of our salvation, hear us as we pray for our fellow Christians, that this Holy Week may bring courage and hope to the Church. Bless all bishops and pastors of the flock, particularly Nick, our bishop. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Support and strengthen all who are tempted to lapse. Arouse the indifferent and careless, and renew them in their first love. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace to the world, that all races and nations may grow in mutual trust and goodwill, that justice and freedom may increase, and the whole earth live to praise your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Be merciful to all who suffer through sickness, poverty, hunger, and oppression. Hear the cry of those in misery and need. Show them your mercy and heal their afflictions. And grant us wise-hearted love in the relief of human distress. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all those with whom our lives are bound up, our fellow Christians in this place, our neighbours, and those who live around us. Let your loving kindness be upon us. Lord, in your mercy. Be merciful to all who have died. Show them your way, O Lord, that they may see your goodness in the land of the living. Lord, in your mercy. By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard us and keep us, and may his passion bring us at the end to be numbered with Blessed Mary and all the redeemed in glory everlasting. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
We have sinned again.
Merciful Father, turn us from sin to faithfulness and from disobedience to love, and prepare us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ our Saviour, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.